Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Sorry, but I don't do taxes.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Welcome back. Taxation is theft. How's it going, guys? Welcome back to the show. I have today Luke Wenke, who is running for Cattaraugus County Coroner. And it's a little bit more than that. He's actually, sounds like he's redefining the position a little bit. But this was interesting. Well, first, welcome.
Thank you. This is an exciting show. I like the intro.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, so like I first heard you're running for coroner and I'm like, that's so weird. Why would coroner even be an elected position?
Okay. So here's the story. I'm the county libertarian chairman first, and we had people who wanted to run, right? They want to run for local office. They want to run for county. I wanted to be selfless and say, everyone else go run. Good. Like, I could have run for city council. We had someone run there. No. So I said, screw this. They're like, Luke, you got to run for something too. Screw you people, coroner. So, and then I announced, I publicly announced coroner. And then people wanted lawn signs in this county. And I said, are you serious? Okay. And then I was in disbelief while ordering my lawn signs. And if you look at my pictures, it says any schmuck can run for coroner on the sign. I'm like, this is stupid. You people like want this? So as just it gained more traction really in the local area, and I know a lot of libertarians around the country are watching it, but as it went on, it just was like evolving and it came into a cause, and I'm saying, okay, let's make this real. Let's see where this happens. And if I was actually to win, I am prepared to do the actual job of being coroner. If you win, I deliver pizza, I tune pianos, I do these things. So none of my opponents are doctors either. If you win, you just take some class up in Buffalo and they show you how to just the practical logistics of being coroner. So I am prepared to do the job. If anybody I don't know, it's different in some counties, but if you want, it's not a very political position. I've tried to think like what the hell do I do to fight for like libertarian stuff from this position? So
I'm thinking like because does the coroner even do autopsies or like would somebody hire
the coroner comes with a medical professional of their choice. It's first of all, it's like a notary, you know, you have to have a witness to sign a piece of paper. Should one person really have the power to say this person's dead? You take seriously, Charles Manson. Well, like this is like a Charles Manson thing. If I had the power, there wouldn't be any of you left. So one person can be alone in a room with a person. Oh, this person's dead. Who knows what happens? So you need two.
I don't like you. You're dead on paper.
You're dead on paper. So democratizing the coroner position is maybe good because it kind of allows for involuntary death. We'll put it that way.
I guess. The opposite could be true too, right? Because let's say you're on the Democrat Party, you have these bodies coming in, and you could say, "Oh well, now I know that he's dead. Let's not make that official. Let's get his ID to somebody to go vote for him."
Yes. So I'm thinking like, okay, this is not a libertarian. I'm going to fight for local issues, you know, and talk about it, but I'm like, okay, maybe if we live a little longer, if medical technology advances, if we privatize medicine, we'll live longer and we won't need a coroner. So I'm like, maybe if we just privatize, how do you get rid of it? You know what I mean? Screw government.
Right.
So
That's interesting too, that you're saying is just because like, this is how I've always looked at like, we register, you buy a house, you register it with the government. And I've always looked at that as that's like a legitimate service that the government provides, although it's monopolized. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's registered. So like, you know, if somebody like comes to your house and says, that's my house, you need to get out. And it's like, what do you mean? I've been living here for 10 years. And if you don't have any, let's say you live out in the woods, you don't have any neighbors to testify on your behalf. What do you have? Nothing. Unless, oh, well, here, the government registry acknowledges that I've been here and you've never contested it in 10 years. That kind of makes sense to have some sort of registry. But yeah, you know, just like as you're saying, like you could privatize it. That does make absolute total sense if you want to keep a registry.
You can't privatize the coroner position. Who's going to pay their money to say this person's dead? No, you can do that yourself. I'm saying privatize like medicine. I'm saying like privatize medicine and health, so we live longer and not as many people die. I don't know, you know.
But I mean, what's the point of registering when somebody dies if not to just keep government statistics on how many population, mm-hmm. what their population is to tax?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so right.
That's that's a good point. Who would pay for that?
It's an irrelevant position in a free market. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although, well, I would think maybe if you have some sort of estate, inheritance, trusts, and all kinds of other things, that might be a useful service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that case, but anyway, so that's really interesting. So, and I guess this is probably like a state thing, right? So every county's that position is elected.
Well, no, next door is Chautauqua County. That's this is Cattaraugus. It's south of Buffalo near the Pennsylvania border. There's one more county. If you're looking at the map, one more county to the left, it's Chautauqua County, and they don't vote for the coroner. But they do vote for their county executive. We vote for coroner, and we don't vote for the executive figure in our county.
How do you choose your executive?
Well, first of all, everybody just kind of sits around watching Trump in Ukraine, so nobody pays attention to Cattaraugus County stuff, you know. Right. And sure, like no matter where you live locally, and especially rural people. People know, like, there's two cities in Cattaraugus County, Salamanca, Olean. They know their mayors. They know Cuomo of New York, and Trump is the president. Nobody knows their legislators. The legislators among themselves pick the executive. Nobody knows who these people are. This is like 12 out of 17 Republicans in the legislature. The budget's gone up $30 million in 10 years. And, Republicans are fiscally responsible, not here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they pick among themselves that figure. Mm-hmm. And there is one person that I'm told wants to have that position. And he's very secretive. And that's the thing. If while we have government, should it really be a secret who's doing things? No,
absolutely not.
So I have pimped because I have a very public presence around here. I've said, okay, I'm going to very publicly make him my pseudo opponent for county executive. Right.
Interesting.
So
tell me about this race. Who are you running against?
I have Howie Van Rensselaer, the Republican, and Paul Smith, the Democrat. And that's the thing. If it weren't for me running, I don't think people would be paying attention. They both own funeral homes. They have actual experience working with deceased people, but it's like they make a lot of money.
Right.
As it is.
Yeah, so, funeral homes, those are the ones who charge you like, oh, yeah, we'll charge you $50,000 to stick your grandmother in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. So those aren't...
So they got to go to a death scene, and then they say, okay, come to my business. That's like corporatocracy.
Yeah, I'm thinking there's got to be some sort of a conflict of interest there, right? You're registering a dead person? Well, why don't you go to my funeral home after this? You can't just leave the body here. Mm-hmm.
I don't have a funeral home. What kind of services am I going to give them when they die?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's... Man. Okay, so...
no one's ever thought about this crap.
So what does this race look like? I mean, are you guys having debates, or are you just like...
Yeah, I swear to God, if we have a debate for coroner in Cattaraugus County, I will thank myself. I say, you people have never had a coroner debate. If it happens, it happens because of me.
Man, set one up. Even if you're the only candidate that shows, get a moderator. Get two moderators.
Like when...
So it's a conversation.
C-SPAN coroner debate.
Yeah, that would be.
I've been in a lot of newspapers. We have, like, Olean is on this side of the county. Randolph is over here. So I've been in, I'm going to be in Randolph's newspaper. So I am getting press. I have signs in, like, a lot of different jurisdictions in this county on main roads and private residences and a few businesses. So that's the thing. A legitimate insurance business has my Luke Winkie, any schmuck can run for coroner sign out there. So it's pretty interesting.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, this is man. Oh, the fun you must be having on that campaign.
This is fun. So the other day, fun. You want to talk about fun? This local person who there's a lot of locally based Facebook groups in the area. I'm not going to name him. He was an admin of a very large group, and it's based around, like, police emergencies, and people will post what's going on the police scanner, you know. He was an admin of that group. He has been – people cannot stand him. He would, like, silence everybody in his group all the time. So screw him, right? He decides to say, screw this guy running for coroner. He found pictures of me in bondage gear, and he dumped them all over, like, a lot of different local groups. And he's like, you people want this guy doing this coroner job? So I'm like, you cannot embarrass me. Like, I have nothing to lose but you posting these pictures of me. So if you look on my Facebook page, I put a gag ball in my mouth. And I hold a piece of paper. I cannot be silenced. So, yeah, it's just the thing. Like bring it. Nice. The core of this competitive thing that's triggering the masses, I guess. But actually, well, a lot of people were like, they were like supporting me. And then after I posted that I will not be silenced thing, a lot more people locally messaged me. I'm going to vote for you. I want to sign. So.
That's awesome.
And this is like we like live in the woods, like me with my bondage gear on. Woohoo! So I guess, you know, no one just drives around in their four wheelers around here. I guess people are accepting.
Man. Okay, so that's pretty awesome. So let me ask this. What do you think your chances are?
I'm going to do great no matter what in November. This is looking great. People know about this, and I just sent, you know, I'm not psychic. There's like 80 something thousand people in this county, and sometimes I catch myself, I can't, you don't want to just be talking to yourself in your head,
right?
I haven't been sent the video yet, but I had a big giant sign outside of my mom's front yard, and it was too big for city code. I didn't want her to get fined, so I took it down, but it was up for a parade, the Falling Leaves Festival in Salamanca. And my mom was like right on the main road. And so people going right by the house, people were cheering the libertarians. And I have not seen the video yet, but I guess a bunch of people were twerking on my sign. Like, I have not seen the video yet. So I know people know about it. I know I will do well because of the diversity of the support that I have. We have businesses, we have people with their homes that have their signs out. So I'm sensing that this can be persuaded to have a positive thing. And I have had actual donations, some very significant donations, I'll put it that way. So I no matter what, I am very happy to force people to focus on Cattaraugus County government because it goes ignored way too much. People can make a difference at their local and county levels more than they can, you know, just kind of yelling at Fox News all day.
Right.
So that's the thing. People could just really, really look at Cattaraugus County and their own counties out there. I know people are watching me outside. So this is going to be good no matter what next month.
So, so the vote's going to be in what, like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, November 5th. Mm-hmm. We have early voting in this county too, so a week before, but yeah.
These are always interesting, right? Because these are the low turnout elections, right? Because it's not a presidential race. The number of people that show up are usually smaller, but that could work in your favor because if, you know, especially if you're getting a lot of people who are on your side and they're getting excited about your election, they're going to actually go out and vote for you versus, you know, the people who just, like, they don't know who their candidate is. They just vote Democrat or Republican. They don't usually go out to these types of things. And that's why the turnout's low, because they're like, I don't care who's running. It's not the president.
Yep.
I don't know.
I say, like I said, they just watch Fox News all day and they don't realize that any schmuck can affect things, you know? People need like a sense of self-belief, I think. I think they view themselves as a permanent audience member to a world that happens on automatic. And people need to realize that everything you're watching on TV, those are people too. You know, people watching this show, these are real people. So people just need to realize that they can get in. Everyone has a sense of self-worth. Everyone can run and stop government from swelling up so much.
Right. No, that's actually a really good point that I try to talk to people a lot, but I know that's like, I mean, that's like a whole other thing. Like, this whole idea of self-worth is huge, because especially, you know, you look at like what they're being taught in public schools and everything, like, oh yeah, if you don't graduate high school, you're worthless. The mentality of, oh, you're trying to start a business, don't do that, just go work for some big corporation, because you're worthless as an entrepreneur, you're not a billionaire. There's crazy shit that they're sticking into our heads.
Oh yeah, and I had to wake myself up too. So I'm 27, so I graduated high school 2010, just to give perspective. So I had like major senioritis my senior year in high school, and I was like, I'm going to be the high school band teacher, and so I knew he was going to retire in 3 years. So I'm like, I'm going to get my bachelor's. I knew, and he actually did. So I must be psychic. So he retired in 2013, but when I graduated high school, I was like, okay, I got to get my bachelor's degree in 3 years. I can do this. First semester of community college. Like the music, I took music at community college music classes. Is like, this is a half note. This is a bass note. I learned piano when I was five. This is basic stuff. So I got bored within my first semester. And by my third semester at JCC, I'm taking like human sexuality class, global history. I'm just like not taking music classes because I'm like, I don't want to be band teacher anymore. But I had to wake myself up from what you're saying. I had to wake myself up out of that whole, I need a government job, I need to go to college. And this house I'm in, this is like a $10,000 house I got with like pizza delivery money, right? Wow. So it's like, I'm doing fine, okay? So yeah, I've built myself up, you know, and well, I've always kind of known I could do things, but the how to do it, public school misleads a lot of people.
They don't tell you anything. They're just like, oh yeah, 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 just go get a job. I remember like they were teaching us like budgeting in some math class, and they were like, yeah, so you're gonna get a job and you're gonna be on salary, and this is how you divide up your paycheck. You know, 10% goes to entertainment, 20% goes to food, 50% goes to rent. Like, and it's like, okay, but what if you're not on a fixed salary like that? Because that's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely insane. And mm-hmm. I had kind of a similar experience too. I originally wanted to go to college for, like, I wanted to get into special effects and video graphics and all that kind of stuff, but I wasn't a great artist. So I ended up in software. Like, I'm a software engineer now. I was a professional video editor for a while, but that stuff I kind of learned just on my own, self-taught. Mm-hmm. And when I was going to community college, I was doing the same kind of shit. I took art, drawing, I took auto mechanics, I took philosophy and that kind of stuff, and some of that stuff, like, I'm glad I took. There was some interesting stuff, like, especially philosophy and psychology and advertising. Man, I actually kind of loved that stuff, but I was like, I could never see myself in a career with that.
No. Unless you teach.
Yeah, and there's so much you can learn on your own, too. Like, you know what's interesting is, mm-hmm. at one point I was like, man, I was kind of inspired by that movie Catch Me If You Can. I was like, I'm going to study and learn to be a lawyer, and I'm going to go pass the bar without ever setting foot inside of a law school. And what I did was I started searching, and I found I found like podcasts, but they weren't podcasts. They were like students recording their entire law school lectures from like Cornell University and like all these other places and uploading them. So I'm like listening to these, you know, I'm basically sitting in a law school classroom. And I got the study books for the bar so that, you know, it's got like all the sample questions and everything else. I was going through all this and I'm like, man, you really can self-teach yourself anything. You don't need to go to college.
We had presidents who have been self-educated, you know, you could like say they're like unpatriotic, the public education system, because they're dissing you if you don't accept their standards, you know, and their standards don't help anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, wow. So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to Khan Academy's coroner class.
Coroner class. Yeah.
I mean, man, because, you know, here's the other thing. Like, I've always looked at, like, even med school, right? I'm like, you know, people are spending, like, a couple hundred grand to go to, like, 6 years of med school. And how much of that is just...
Let me tell you, you get like these Eastern medicine. I had, we're talking about medicine, and yeah, they think they got to make six digits a year. Yeah, I had allergies ever since I was a kid, and just about 2 years ago, I had acupuncture done, a few things of acupuncture. I don't fall and spring when the pollen is going around. I don't have that allergies anymore.
Really?
And here, like these six digit earning doctors are like, you need surgery, you need this, right. No. So
you need to be hooked on this pill.
The pharmaceutical industry is so artificial. They want single payer healthcare. Taxes going to pay these pharmaceutical companies. No, Eastern medicine. It is a form of white super. When I talk about privatizing health to make people live longer, so there's no more coroner. It is a form of white supremacy to denounce another culture's form of medicine simply because it doesn't come from your own. Another culture's medicine actually helped me, and they brainwash people into thinking you need all these surgeries from these six-digit earning doctors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting now that you – like, I never thought about that like that. I always thought about it like the, you know, the Eastern medicines are not
– Yeah.
They've never been – as far as I know, they've never been studied as clinically.
They studied like just because like we exist on this part of the earth, you know, there's people over here thriving. Everybody right. on this part of the world, they're driving around. People here, they like drive around in their Walmart scooters. They got a breathing tube in their neck. Nobody over in Asia does that, right? Like they're doing fine. Like we don't know anything about health over here.
But like, so here it's like. We have this criteria that's FDA approval, right? Mm-hmm. And but the thing is, like, even like, I mean, like, because we're talking about herbs, shit you can grow in your backyard. Nobody's gonna spend $50 million on the FDA to get an herb researched and approved, go through the 10-year process for this thing, just so, like, I'm not gonna spend $50 million just so you can grow it in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like it that's why the FDA. So it's really interesting that you said that's a form of white supremacy, because it really is like
mm-hmm.
that just kind of blew my mind.
We haven't studied it yet. We. Oh, we'll go over there.
And we're not
going
to. Because
well, maybe we can.
It's not a profitable model. You can't.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not like a billion-dollar profitable model.
Well, maybe it's profitable for someone who is not making as much as an acupuncturist. You know what I mean? It's not profitable from the perspective of a six-digit earning corporate protected kind of doctor, but it's profitable for someone who comes from the McDonald's drive-thru. They can learn how to do acupuncture.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
Mm-hmm. So we just have to walk people into accepting a new, better approach, which is already there. Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. I gotta add that, because I mean, this is on my platform to kind of deregulate the FDA to allow other people to approve and say this works, because like, yeah, that's so. Like, I mean, like, look, the FDA has been trying to ban vitamin B. Which
what? Yeah, because they don't make money. I don't know.
Which the pharmaceutical industry already uses and swears by, but of course they want to. Yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
that's insane.
I've thought about this for a very long time. You know, I just kind of – I drive for, like, work, so I'm in the car by myself. And so, yeah, that's the thing. Eastern medicine is – it works. And, you know, I mean, look at the Guinness Book of World Records. So that's all, like, white culture. You have people – there's some – Google is there. Just Google oldest person on earth. You get all these different articles. You know, there's 140 – well, he died, I think, but he's, like, 140 and – Indonesia or the Philippines or something. He's 140 something. They have government documentation from that government that he was born in 18 whatever. I don't think that government is stupid that they don't trust their own calendar. But we're like not significant enough proof. And it's like that's the thing. It's almost a form of supremacy that goes on, and we refuse to grow as a species, as the human species, because we isolate ourselves and we doubt each other, you know?
I'm looking at, so I'm on Wikipedia and I've got the world's oldest people.
Mm-hmm. And you get all these different articles, right?
Cause okay. This is just like a current tally of all this. So 10 oldest living people right now, is 114, somewhere between 114 and 116 years. Out of these top 10, four of them are Japanese.
Well, then that, now remember the Wikipedia is out of what country? United States.
That's true. And they do Google, have two from the U.S. there.
Google search it right now. 145 years old, Indonesia.
I see what you're saying, because this one's not including some. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying. 145-year-old claims to be the world's oldest person, but
he had government documentation. You know, I mean, okay. Oh, we hate government. Oh, but our birth certificates typically have our correct birthday on them.
That goes back to the house registry. That's a legit. Yeah. That's a non-oppressive service.
Yeah.
More or less.
You're actually this old. they trust their own calendar. I don't think they would BS a date so far back in the 19th century.
He's got documentation that says he was born in 1870.
No, the United States says we need this paperwork. It must be the United States doesn't like small government. It must be Indonesia requires less paperwork.
You know? And see, that's really this is really interesting. Because people think, right? Like this is just like how conditioned we've become. People think like if you don't have a birth certificate, there's something wrong. You must be a criminal or something weird. If you don't have a social security number, you must be an illegal immigrant. But it's like no, you can.
Yeah,
you can be born. There are people who are just like, no, I don't want to register with the government, or I don't want to. You know, I don't want to. There are people like that in the United States, and they live happy, fulfilling, fruitful lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing criminal or strange or weird about that. In fact, what we're doing with all these certificates and documentation and everything, really, if you think about that, and especially if you look at the transition from like a few hundred years ago to when we started doing that, that's kind of crazy. And actually, if you go back to like, I was watching this movie, it was about the Anabaptists, but it's supposedly they had a historian on there, so it's all, you know, historically accurate and everything. And when the Baptists came along and they wanted to start this whole baptism process, they started a registry. And they said, when your children are born, we put them in the register and blah, blah, blah. But that was when the Baptist church was the tax collector. Like they were partnership with the kings and they were taking money from everybody. So they were creating a registry of people's births for religious purposes, but it was for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like... Why are we doing this? I mean, like, I'm here. I was born. Do you deny that? Like, what do you need a birth certificate for?
Mm-hmm. At least the birth date's accurate, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay, that's cool information to know, but
go find someone who like disputes the birthday on their birth certificate. Like, you never hear about that.
Yeah, unless you're Obama. No, but then it wasn't the date. It was only the location. Man, that's insane, though. 145 years. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to live that long.
You Google search the 256-year-old from China. There's a few books. He has a few books on him. And, okay, there you go. Hell, let me get it. Jesus. Let me go get it. Let me go over to my bookcase real quick.
Right here. Yin. Oh God! Look at this, Jesus.
There you go. This book right here. This guy existed during the Qing Dynasty,
uh-huh.
right before Communist China took over, and the Qing Dynasty had paperwork that they kept documentation of their citizens. Okay. the communists saved them. So they had documentation, and it was probably accurate. You know, it's almost a form of prejudice again to criticize an older culture that they were antiquated, they weren't as advanced as us. I mean, they wonder what the pyramids were, but the Qing Dynasty, they were capable of keeping documentation, and there was. At Chengdu University, this guy had his birth information at that university in the Qing Dynasty China that he was over 200 years old. And we could go on about this all day. But we don't know anything about health. The coroner position could be eliminated if people would just live to 2 billion years old, you know? Right. I mean, really. It sounds fantastic, like a fantastic claim, but we could do it.
I remember this I want to say this is the first experience I had with death. No, the first experience that I had with death that wasn't the normal, what's supposed to happen, government takes care of, and I was a kid, right? And it was the first time I saw Star Wars, and Luke is throwing his dad in a pile of fire, and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I'm like, wait, don't you have to bury him in the ground? Isn't that the law? Because that's the only way I knew to dispose of a body. And then so I started thinking, and then and then it's wait a minute, what about there's all kinds of death ceremonies that people do. Sometimes they set a body on fire, sometimes they put it in the ground. Why is there this thing? And then so I started thinking at some point, I'm like, okay, let's say you have a family and somebody dies, I'm programmed to believe the first people you have to call is the government. Because if you just try to take care of it on your own and dig a hole in your backyard and say, we're going to start a graveyard out here, I've been to places
You want to talk about government waste. There's 80,000 people in this county, right? There's 4 coroners in this county. Why? Go home. Go work at Burger King. You don't need that many coroners, you know? Any idiot can just run. We could all just go around and say, this person's dead, take their drugs and profit off of it, you know?
Are you committing a crime if your grandmother dies and you just dig a hole and bury her?
The coroner's this is my grandma. Well, I guess I don't need to call the coroner.
is that a crime?
Let's elect me and let's find out.
let's
really push things.
I'm not saying you as a coroner. I'm saying any person, because that seems that should be that used to be normal.
You could bury someone in your backyard. Like on The Sims, when someone dies, there's a tombstone in the backyard. Right.
People own a few acres and the families lived there for generations and they have a little cemetery that they built.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They bury their family and their grandparents and their cats.
How do we do this? How do we go back to that? You know, why do I got to drive 10 miles down the road to go plant flowers at this person's grave? You know? Yeah. People keep their homes generation after generation. There has to be a way to ease up on the rules. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man,
I gotta say, this isn't my life cause. We're just talking about it because I'm running for coroner. People need to bury their family members.
No, I mean it's an interesting conversation because this is, I mean, it's something you don't normally think about, and here you have a couple libertarians talking about the way things are and should be.
How should people die?
I've always thought the Eskimo thing where you stick them on a block of ice and just push them out into the ocean. And send them out to the mountains and let the bears kill them. And it's
we all just think about, how do I get rid of this person?
I mean, that's kind of, because back then it was we don't have wheelchairs to push this guy around anymore.
There's another cause. Let's get real, right? Everyone is a human being. Everyone at some point has thought, how do I get rid of this person?
So let's all just admit it, right?
Yeah, I think the politically correct one now is just to like buy him a plane ticket somewhere, like a one-way ticket to, you know, oh yeah, you're gonna go on vacation, it's gonna be great, here, just go. That's the politically correct way now.
But I'm going to Greenland. Trump owns Greenland.
Oh man. What? Man. Okay, so this is
my joke of the hour.
Man. Yeah, that's, and I mean, well, okay, yeah, let's talk about getting rid of people. I mean, everyone's trying to do that with Trump right now, right?
Trump's trying to get rid of people, and then he accuses the Clintons of doing it, and then who knows, maybe they do. Who knows? Nobody knows. Go find out. You know, I think people think of like, oh, I'm an insider, I'm an outsider. They think of it wrong. I think anybody can have their own inside. It is possible for one inside circle to usurp another inside circle. I mean, anybody can just kill somebody, you know. So if anybody can do it, well, yeah, the people at the top are probably.
They got people.
They got people. I mean,
it's like Hitler. Hitler didn't kill a single person. Except for himself, but he gets credit for why he delegated the task to other people.
People were walked into believing a very bad thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's and you know what's interesting is like we see, and I don't want to talk shit about the military, but every person that's killed by the United States government is done so by the military and mostly by people who are following orders. So it's. It really is that same kind of thing. I mean, we've had these discussions about like, is it okay to assassinate known terrorists? But how, like, what does it take for, I'm the president, I'm going to write this name on a piece of paper. I'm going to hand it to a soldier and say, go kill this known terrorist. And really, he's just my political enemy who's got nothing to do with terrorism.
Yeah. How do you balance that out? How do you stop that? You know?
Right.
I've tried to produce my own ideology. So it's 2019 now. In 2016, I was actually for Bernie. I was a libertarian. I voted for Gary Johnson 2012. He's my first presidential vote. Gary Johnson. Jesse Ventura was my first inspiration. Beat the two parties. So we could talk about like how I came here, right? But for a while, I was for Bernie, and he was democratic socialist. He's like walking everybody into socialism and democratic socialism, and everybody's calling themselves socialist. And I do that really well, by the way. Democratic socialist. So he's like walking these people into free this and free that. And so I was for him. I said, okay. People need healthcare. I was thinking on other people's behalf. People need healthcare. I go to his little local campaign organization meetings. I need free college. I need this. And these people smell like shit. Like, it's like, that's when I first came up with my Walmart scooter driver reference. And so, see, he's walking people into democratic socialism. So here I am today, 2017. I learned about anarcho-capitalism. I learned about what anarcho-communism, anarcho-whatever, and I learned about that. And I said, if socialism is bad, anarchy is the absolute extreme opposite, therefore it is perfect. And so now I'm like democratic anarchy. Why don't we democratically elect people who want to get rid of government and get in there and stop it from being oppressive? In whatever form, anarchists cooperate pretty well. I think we all know what bottom unity means, you know? So if anarchists get in there and if they can stop government from doing that, I think that's how we balance that out. You know, let's stop it from growing and let's get people elected, even at the local position where they can make a big difference. And, you know, I tried to come up with democratic anarchy that way because I came from the Bernie crap. And so I've tried to counter it that way.
I mean, like I look at Bernie Sanders, right? And I know, like, I talk shit about socialism and he pisses me off because he's trying to sell that. But at the same time, I can look at him and understand, like, He is like, I understand why people like him. He's talking about a real issue. People are scared about their health. They're scared about, I'm going to get sick and I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. I was just watching this guy. I don't remember his name, but he was on the Joe Rogan show talking about like the Twitter bans. And apparently he's like some, you know, he's going through the news in California and he's talking about all these epidemics and health, health risks and everything else. He's saying STDs are exploding like 300% per year increases and all this other stuff. Kids are being born with syphilis. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, back to when I lived in California, like, I remember all of my money went to my living expense. It went to my rent. It went to my food that I was, top ramen. Like, all of my money went there. So, like, I'm thinking, like, you have a lot of people that, I mean, people like to go out and have sex, right? Everywhere. But especially in California, places where you have to spend so much money just to stay alive, I could totally see people saying, well, I'd like to go to the doctor. Something's a little itchy, but I just don't have the money for it. I know they have free clinics and everything, but, like, I can see like how that creates that problem. And because I mean, he was like listing all these diseases and I'm like, aren't all of those treatable with like antibiotics or whatever?
Yeah.
So like, why is this such an epidemic? And antibiotics are a relatively inexpensive medicine. Mm-hmm. Like why, how could this even happen? This is not an AIDS epidemic. This is not like people sharing needles and like doing so, like, this is fucking crazy. And that's all socialism. But the socialism, like, we want to solve these problems. So let me get
back to help people, right? But that's the thing. So I wanted Bernie versus Trump. That was like, there's a lot of independent minded people out there that don't know what libertarian means fully. So I was always kind of an independent, like, okay, screw the two parties. So I saw Trump and Bernie as, okay, we need Trump versus Bernie. I think, and I said to myself, I was hardly involved back then. I have been able to foresee things before they happen. I said, I think Trump's going to have an easier time getting the nomination than Bernie will. I'm going to go help Bernie. And there were a lot of Bernie's people that were not socialists. They just wanted an independent to stop the Bush Clinton stuff that they thought was going to come. So a lot of not all the Bernie people were just the people I just said. But we kept saying Trump's going to win if Hillary's the nominee. And then I remember when Trump won, I said that's what we said. And then the next day after Trump won, they had these cry-ins at these colleges. I'm thinking, that's the side I backed. Get over it. Like, we knew it was coming. You're acting surprised, people. And so that's where I came from, you know?
Yeah, it's – I mean, like, here's – this is kind of where I struggle with Bernie, right? Because I'm like, okay, look, that's a problem, right? Healthcare is too fucking expensive. Like, that's a problem. But it seems like – you got to get the price down, right? It seems like when you go to the socialist solution, it's well, shit, we're getting all the money out of the sick people, but how do we get the money out of the healthy people? Let's just keep jacking the price up, and then we'll force the healthy people to pay for the sick people.
And then there's no more healthy people. You can, like, tax rich people out of being rich. You can, like, you can tax healthy people out of being healthy.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's...
they're like 8,000 pounds. They're blocking the aisle at Walmart. I need free healthcare, you know?
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, if – okay, for example, everybody should save money for a rainy day, right? Like, you lose your job or, the company shuts down, whatever. You've got money to last you for a couple months or years, right? Everybody should have that. But if the government says, yeah, don't worry about that. We got you, bro. I don't need to save any money. I'm going to buy that big screen TV or that new car or like all this other shit that I want. Because I don't need a...
And then there's nobody working to make those things, you know? And so we just go backwards as a society when, oh, thank you for all this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like Andrew... Okay, well, like, that's another subject. Andrew Yang. I saw my sense of foresight continues. I saw, as soon as I heard about Andrew Yang, I'm like, oh God, the Bernie stuff is getting worse. And He's like $1,000 a month. I'm like, this is okay. You know what? I'm going to relate this to Cattaraugus County. Oh, this could offend people. Too bad. I actually grew up in Salamanca. That is the only American city to be leased off of a Native American reservation. Okay, it is okay. So we put natives on the reservation. You got to live here. Oh, look, Salamanca is Buffalo, Cleveland, Erie, Pennsylvania, Binghamton, New York City, Chicago, everything right in Salamanca. So it used to be a railroad junction. So the American New York State government's like, well, we better rent this land from the natives. So,
well, I mean, at least they didn't break the treaty like they usually do, right?
Usually, right? So in Salamanca, if you're native, you get an annuity check. And there's the casino, and the casino will pay, you know, the natives a share of the money. And it, like, they just kind of – it doesn't – there's no incentive to work, okay? And
right.
We've really the American government has really pacified Native Americans by doing that. I think the American government knows what they're doing by allowing natives to just kind of – set. I think.
Well, I think that's what they. I think there are people who know they're doing that with every welfare program.
What's that?
I think there are people who know they're doing that with every welfare program to blacks and Hispanics and everybody else.
But that's the thing. Like, if people think Andrew Yang's $1,000 a month basic income is the greatest thing, no. You go look at probably any Native reservation, and you see that they're getting money for nothing, and you see that that is there to control them. And, you know, at any moment, no more annuity checks.
Right.
Oh, what do we do?
You misbehave. We're taking your money away.
Well, yeah, anything really. You
abused your freedom of speech. You spoke ill of the people giving you the check. We're not going to give you the check.
Mm-hmm.
Man. That's what we're there's a kid who's been helping me distribute a lot of my campaign stuff, and he's been taking it to school, and he's in a fight with his school, and they're doing the same thing. Oh, you know, you don't have any freedom of speech here, which is a fucking lie. They're trying to say that there's like, oh, you broke this policy, and like, no, we went to the state.
How the hell is it? The government school, no freedom of speech. Here's the thing. Government wants to, like, pick its nose into things, right? Okay, so they want to socialize this. They want to socialize that. The Bill of Rights is government, but the Bill of Rights doesn't apply with government. How about we socialize the Bill of Rights?
But that's...
How about...
That's the thing. Like, this is exactly like what you're talking about where, you know, oh, if you misbehave, we're going to take that check away from you. Because he's like, oh, you misbehaved. We're going to take the school away from you. The school is the benefit. We're going to pull that. So now he's suspended for a week. Yeah. And it's that's exactly what they're. Well, we made the rules. It's our school. We can make whatever rules we want.
How about How about instead of being the one that receives things, how about you're the one giving people things? So nothing will affect you. You know, and those people that, like, they're getting things from you, I think they should learn how to get their own things. And we really can evolve as a species if we operate that way, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And there was an interesting video I saw. I don't think it was like a full documentary. But, oh, no. You know what it was? It was what's his name? John Stossel did a piece on Indian reservations, and
I never saw it.
There was like a couple guys that, you know, they were saying like, yeah, no, we're trying to be entrepreneurs. We're trying to get it because like everybody, you know, everybody's an alcoholic. They're addicted to cigarettes and like all like they live shitty lives. They don't really have property rights, so they have nothing to live for, and their lives just kind of like fall into like they don't care, worthlessness. They don't care about their health. They don't care. And it's like, man, these people were doing so good. They were so healthy. They were able to like fend for themselves, build things and worship nature as part of their culture and all this other stuff. And that has all been just completely fucking destroyed.
It's the thing. American culture. Here we go. Here's that. So everything we're talking about is coming together. You know, American culture is like, oh, they're an outdated culture. Nothing they did works. And look how great they did. You know, look how great they right. did before.
Yeah,
look how
great they did. Mm-hmm. You know, man, like Yeah, it's exactly like, oh, they don't have running water there. That's a third world country. But it's like, no, like, you got water. You pull it out of the ground or you collect rainwater. You still got water.
Like, their river is so clean that they can drink out of it.
Yeah,
because like there's no plant up the river dumping stuff. Yeah.
What, is it, I think that really plays into our consumeristic outlook on life, where we're like, no, we need all the shiny. I need the iPhone 57X. Plus, whatever, like, I gotta have it or else
I think it's possible to be environmental and technologically advanced.
Yeah.
You know? But maybe this, okay, here now we're getting into conspiracies. The pyramids, you know, like wireless electricity. Nikola Tesla tried to do it. And maybe they stopped that because it could have put something out of business. You know, I think we can be technologically advanced and environmental and healthy a little while and prosperous at the same time. I think, like, it's very possible.
Even then, like, technology, like, okay, if you understand technology as just information and knowledge, then, like, okay, that's great, and you can obtain that. But it's like, you don't have to have it. I mean, like, we could easily go back 500 years and we could still live happy lives knowing what we know. Wash your hands before you eat, boil your water, like it's so, like, we can get rid of a lot of stuff that we have and we can still be happy. Happiness is not the technology. The technology changes things a lot, but that's not what happiness, that's not our purpose in life. Like, we're all going to be dead in however many years, right? You have this thing where, like, okay, maybe we can live forever. I don't know.
Everybody will die.
But, yeah, at some point. And it's like, well, so just fucking enjoy life. Like, you don't stop looking down on other people. Stop thinking you're less because you don't have something.
Just go do things. Like, everything is accessible. You might have to put some fight up for it, but if you treat life as a hobby, you're gonna thrive. You know, people can really find joy. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely. Man, this conversation ended up totally not where I thought it was going to go, but this is really awesome.
from corner to utopia. Yeah.
I mean, we are rising
from the dead in Cattaraugus County, and we are going to just make this the place to be.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we started out talking about death, and, like, that's like, when you accept death as something, it's like nothing else. Like, you know, people are afraid to, like, they have the fear of public speaking, and it's like, you're gonna fucking die. And when you tell people, oh, you're gonna fucking die anyway, like, okay, what do I care what these people think of me? I'm just gonna go up and say what I have to say.
Just go do things. Go run for corner. Go get kink shamed. Say screw you. Move on.
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Man. All right. Man. Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
What was your inspiration to go from the, you said you were following Bernie Sanders and the Socialists. That sounds like a band,
okay.
A really bad band.
We can start from the beginning. Once upon a time, I was actually, like, 6 years old. I could name the presidents in order. I was 3 years old. And I guess I looked at a dollar and I'm like, who's this guy? Who's this guy? Like, this paper gets me stuff. This guy's on it all over. Who's this guy? And I guess I asked my mom, well, welcome, it's not me, you know? And so at 6 years old, I was able to name the presidents in order. Okay, so I was a geek, a total dweeb from the start. We'll start Jesse Ventura during the 2008 election. I was in high school when Obama won. I went to Obama's inauguration, his first one. So I was watching Jesse Ventura commentate on something, and that's when I was first made aware of the third party governor. Ooh, third party. Ooh, that's edgy. Okay, so 2010, I was 18. We had a guy named, he was a Republican, Carl Paladino, ran for governor as the Republican. He was like this renegade Republican that got the nomination. He's this business guy from Buffalo, and I've met him since. And I still think, like, 9 years later, I still kind of think, like, well, I wonder what he's up to. He ran for governor, and he put my sense of, wow, New York City is a very statist location. I didn't have the word statist in my vocabulary back then, but New York City really hinders our freedom up here. So he put me in that state of mind. 2012, I voted for Ron Paul in the primary. My uncle was kind of libertarian, and I knew about Ron Paul from him. So I voted for Ron Paul as the Republican. Okay. Libertarian Party. Oh, the largest third party. They get state legislators elected. Whoa. National member at 21 years old, 2013. Gary Johnson, I voted for him in 2012 after Ron Paul lost. And then for a while, I was asking, the Libertarians weren't explaining to me very properly, well, what happens if you get sick and can't afford your bills, like we were talking about? What happens if you go to college, you're in debt, you have to do that to get a better job? Nothing was really answering that for me. So, right. But I still understood that dependency was bad, but, you know, why is it that the top 1% controls this much wealth? So Bernie made a lot of independent people ask questions that the Libertarians weren't answering at the time. So Bernie, okay, I actually voted for Howie Hawkins for governor in 2014. He was the Green Party nominee for governor of New York. And then, okay, Bernie. And then Hillary lost. Boo-hoo. Screw this. I had been watching the Libertarians. I actually voted for Hillary in 2016. Hillary said something during the first debate. Nobody cared because all he talked about was Benghazi. Okay? She said, let's give tax incentives to companies that do profit sharing. And I said, wait a minute. That is a small government solution to something Bernie answered, right? So I was always in that state of mind for a while, like, let's reduce government. Hillary said that during the first debate. I actually listened to the policy stuff during debates. I don't get, oh, boo Trump, he's racist. Boo Hillary, lock her up. I actually listened to the intellectual stuff. So that was good enough. And Gary Johnson did not seem informed to me in 2016 after I voted for the first time. I'm sure he's a good person. But I had been watching the Libertarian stuff on the side. I still caught up with Austin Peterson in 2017. I was in his little ninja group. I think I was just this annoying person in his group for a while. I had been paying attention. One thing he said made me take a U-turn. What got us out of the Great Depression? Foreign investors were allowed to come here and, boom, capitalism cures poverty. Okay, wait. Everything Bernie just talked about was just solved with the total opposite of the crap he was talking about. So Austin, paying attention to him on the side, sucked me back in, right? And then he brought me back in, and then I saw videos of him talking with Larry, and Larry Sharp coming. I got him to come here to Olean last year running for governor, and that was like, oh, wow, I'm actually, like, helping the movement at a level. So that's like the 10-year path, I guess you could say, of just Jesse Ventura to here I am now.
Man.
So, yeah, that's my – it's an unusual path. But, yeah, I will say Austin dragged me back into it. Oh, anarcho-capitalism. Just go – anarchy came across like treating your political ideology as a lifestyle choice as opposed to you need to do this. Everyone needs to do it this way. You know, if you want to be communist, go be communist among yourselves, right?
Right.
If wants to go make money, okay, let them go produce something they consider valuable and exchange it for whatever they want to do.
Right.
So that's – I was introduced to anarchy. I think it was Anarchy Ball on YouTube that I was watching for a while. So, yeah.
So, okay, because I want to go back to something that you said that I think was really interesting. Okay, uncertainty about the future makes everybody nervous, right? Like, what am I – like, when we're all in high school – oh my God, what am I going to do with my life? What college am I going to go to? What career do I want? Oh my God, I don't even know what I want. Do I want this? Like, okay, uncertainty is like drives us crazy. And so if you were to ask what happens if you get sick and you get slapped with a $500,000 medical bill, nobody has an answer for that. But at the same time, you can ask those same, like when somebody comes to me as a libertarian, I can really ask them, well, what happens if you lose your job? Because the thing is, for every person, it's different. What are you going to do? I don't know. Because every, like,
people need to listen to this. That's the thing. I didn't have answers until every goddamn thing was answered. Once I finally understood the libertarian stuff, I had been a national member since 2013, but it took till 2017 for me to get mentally into it and say, oh my God, this has all the answers. Quite honestly, mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to, because this is kind of a path that I've been on for a while, is to figure out how do you distill this down to mm-hmm. get people more quickly from that point of let's just let the government print money and fix all our problems, to holy shit, let's just shut the whole thing down and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I think we can slowly get there. And, you know, we can't just shock everybody no more. You can't just kick the five-year-old. I view government like this. It is not government's job to baby you. It is government's job to be a parent. What is a parent? Keeping the kids in the basement at 50 years old? No. It's the parent's job to raise an adult. It should be government's job to look at itself like, okay, we're here right now, but we're not doing anything good for humanity by still being around. People need to say, we are no longer adolescents. We are no longer depending on government. We are now teenagers. We are now rebellious teenagers. We are still a little bit dependent on it, but we're getting there, and we're going to be fully fledged adults, and we're going to be off government. I think if we look at people, if we look at the stages of humanity that way, we can get off of it quicker than we realize.
I mean, like, I'm thinking, okay, the family model, let's say government's out of the picture. You raise children, you teach them to be self-sufficient, they grow up, they move out, they live lives of their own, they start another family. You want to teach them and give them all the skills that they need to be able to survive on their own. But what government's doing is the opposite. They're saying, don't worry, you don't have to learn any of those skills. We'll take care of you.
Yeah. And it just pacifies them all over again.
Man. And so how do you...
How do we get people off that? I think maybe treat this like a lifestyle. Just treat your whatever your ideology is. I'm a liberal. I care about people. Okay, go do charity. I'm a conservative. Get off welfare. Go to church. Okay, go do that. I think treat your ideology like a lifestyle. If we can walk people into that, treat it like a lifestyle for yourself. You will thrive. You will not be affected at all. And that's how they. I think that's how each individual can live the way we want them to as a whole, like everybody. I think that's how they can slowly get off government while keeping what we fight for alive.
I'm thinking of, like, I've got a funny picture in my head, right? Because everything works by like framings and ideas, right? So like when I grew up in LA, and it was, you know, when you turn 18, like, you got to get out. You got to have your own apartment. You don't want to be the person who's living in your mother's basement. In fact, like, that's considered an insult now, right? You say, oh, you're living in your mom's basement because you don't have the tools to be a functioning adult and move out and be on your own. But if you think about it, the whole idea of socialism as, you know, the government's going to take care of you cradle to grave is... the government is your mother, and you're living in the government's basement, and you refuse to get a job and fucking move out. So I'm thinking, like, if we can reframe this idea as an image and a concept that people will understand, then because that's how we think, right? We think in terms of, like, frameworks and ideas and concepts like that.
You just made me ask a question in my own head. So we don't like government telling people to do things. We don't like corporatocracy. We don't like business becoming this fascist, feudalistic thing, right? Is it a form of statism if the family rules everything? If everyone just lived off their family for generations like they do, like the Masua tribe in China, they just live off family forever. Is that a form of statism?
I mean, well, I think the question is, because I get into arguments with anarchists all the time. Well, you're talking about that's still government. That's still statism. What I think is more important than whether or not you can call it a state is whether or not it's voluntary. Like, can anybody leave that family at any time? Did they build the house themselves and they want to kick somebody out?
Now there's the question. What if they exist in a world where I have to live off my family? How do you walk them out of that? I think the way to do it is just by free speech, reminding people to treat this as a lifestyle choice, so that person living off their family can kind of come naturally of their own, you know?
Well, I think the difference is, okay, so when you talk about government and you're talking about hundreds of millions of families or hundreds of millions of people in the same country, really what you're talking about is you're not living off of your family. You're living off of other people who have never met you and don't care about you. So in this system you're talking about, where you live off of the family for a while and everybody's okay with that because it's voluntary, could you leave, kick someone else's door in and say, hey, I'm part of the family now, like it or not, I'm here to stay, and they're like, oh, I want to get rid of this guy, but they can't because you're now part of their family. Is that a thing? No, of course not. That's silly. If they don't, I mean, maybe if like, hey, I'm alone by myself and I need a family, and they're like, okay, well, you're a cool guy. Yeah, you want to pull your weight around here? We'll let you be part of it. Okay, yeah, maybe.
I know of parents that will clip their kids' wings and make sure that parent wants to make sure that they'll never be alone. That does exist. It is a form of tyranny at the family level. It does exist. So I think you don't stop it with government coming in and breaking the whole family up. No, I think you stop that. It is what are we going to call that? Familial statism? So right. You break up familial statism by just talking about this like we do right now and just, hey, treat this like a lifestyle. Get off it and do it yourself. You know, I think that's how you can stop any form of statism naturally without any forceful divide going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also like a really interesting question because, I mean, this kind of goes back to consent. What is consent, right? Because if you can condition somebody to say, oh, no, I'm living with my parents voluntarily. I never want to move out. I'm like... That sounds like consent.
Maybe they. I'm not bashing anyone who just lives like four generations in one house. No.
Right.
They like it. Maybe they like it.
Yeah, right? but what I'm saying is like
bring because up words is what
there means. Is an acceptable way for that to happen. But if you're manipulating somebody since childbirth into believing, you know, women are the devil. Don't move out. Don't get married. You know, like just putting crazy lies in their head. And then they're speaking, oh, no, I live with my parents because it's safe, because the world is crazy and I don't want to go. Like, it sounds like consent. It sounds like they're saying they're doing this voluntarily, but really they're not, because it's all based on lies and fabrications and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think there's there's...
Familial statism. We just invented a new...
Yeah, that's exactly how government works. I mean, mm-hmm. No, you got to be afraid of illegal immigrants, be afraid of terrorists, be afraid, like that's how they work. Be afraid of the outside world and just stay here. Give me all your money. Don't worry. We'll take care of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's possible to stop it.
Yeah, it is. It is very similar, just completely different scales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We prove it's possible to not exist in a form of tyranny.
Mm-hmm. Man.
From coroner to utopia, we've risen from the dead. We've woken up.
Man, philosophy always, for some reason, always revolves around death. I mean, you know, what happens after you die?
This was an accident. I tell you, I just put myself on the ballot. Whoa, our county has a ton of candidates.
Man.
But yeah, I tried to give it a purpose after people wanted attention.
That's awesome, man.
Wanted to hear about it.
Awesome. Well, you would have my vote if I could vote there, but I'm gonna.
Yeah, you're coming to Olean.
But that's gonna be debate. After.
That's after. That's the week.
Because I was gonna say, I could because I am registered to vote in two states right now.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Oh. Oh, that's it. Oh, he's like a Democrat now.
Yeah. No, but here's the interesting thing. This goes into another...
I heard... Well,
oh, I lost my camera. My battery just died, but my mic's still... Right.
Well, I'm going to use this opportunity to get my phone charger.
All right.
Because my phone's actually like on 8% myself. So what was I saying?
Voting.
What were we talking about?
Registered
voting.
To vote.
Oh, voting. Okay, everyone's going. Okay, let's do libertarian commentary. Okay, so we got Nick Sarwark out there. He's voting for Bill Weld. Okay, he's trying to protect the lifetime members and advocate for them. I just became a lifetime member myself. So he's voting in New Hampshire for Bill Weld. I read that like, wait a minute, he lives in Arizona. What's he doing? So maybe this is like a libertarian thing, voting in multiple states.
I mean, this is really interesting because it gets into like this whole, like idea of like, okay, let's say you live half the year in one state and the other half in another state, right? That's perfectly normal. Bernie Sanders has three houses, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to spend half the year in one state, shouldn't you be able to vote in both? I mean, we're not talking about voting for the president twice. We're just talking about voting for state people in one state and state people in the other state.
Yeah.
And when I asked this question, to somebody and they said, they actually brought up that this is actually why because we have this this belief now that everybody has the right to vote. They said this is why it used to be that landowners would vote, because it's if you own whatever states you own land in, you'd be able to vote in any of those states. Just kind of like if you own share in a stock. One share gets you one vote. So I thought that was kind of a really interesting way to look at this voting system. Of course, now we believe everybody should vote because the government is going to control all of us. But it's like, hey, the government really shouldn't fucking be controlling any of us. So that doesn't matter.
How do you privatize democracy is the question you're asking.
If it's what?
How do you privatize democracy?
Yeah.
I'm just like privatize. All right. Is your camera working?
Yeah, my battery died because I'm a bum and I didn't charge it before I started the show. Because my schedule has been crazy with work. But we are at the end of the show. But I do want to give you an opportunity to give one last plug. I am going to see you in a few weeks up there. That's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about that. We've got your Facebook link on the screen. So anybody who wants to go to the Facebook page, it's right there. What do you want to tell everybody before we go?
I want to tell people that this is Cattaraugus County's first year having a Libertarian Party. I am a seventh generation resident of this place. I know people all over the place around here. I know who the Libertarians are. We brought them out. They're getting attention. They're going to do well no matter what in November. Not one of them could win. They're going to do well. I have faith that quite a few of them could win. So awesome. I've always known that this is a very libertarian-minded home of mine, and I knew this would work when we formed the county party this year. And I'm very happy to finish the year off with a bang on November 9th, November 10th, November 9th. We have the Libertarian presidential debate coming to the Olean High School. It's like even the high school principal is excited to see this. I mean, they are legitimately excited to see the Libertarians, the national Libertarians, giving attention to this place around here. And it's going to get press. And November 9th is the presidential debate. Please watch it. It will be streamed live and it will be all over the place. We're expecting Reason to be there. Someone claiming they're going to get Fox there. We'll see if Fox comes. That would be great. We will accommodate them. The next day on Sunday, November 10th, we have the New York Libertarian Summit. Look for that on Facebook and all over. That is like it's not a convention, but it's a New York Libertarian Party official kind of summit. And that's here in Olean, too. You have to buy tickets for it. Very nice place. Discounted hotel prices. This is a cheap place to come. You're going to come here. We have the casino. We have the park. There's a lot to do around here. You know, if you like rural stuff, I really believe Libertarians, this is a long plug, by the way, but I really believe Libertarians thrive in rural places. And this is a Libertarian rural place. So that's my plug.
Awesome.
That weekend in November, pay attention or come even. Yep.
Awesome. That sounds great. And I am coming. I will see you there.
Yes.
And until next time, taxation is theft.
Taxation is theft.
Taxation is theft.
Please, at least leave us alone in our living room.
My job is to find the truth.
Double the taxes.
I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Triple the taxes.
This is an IRS agent's dream.
If you think that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself.
Beautiful, lovely.
Did you see the memo about this?
The government is a greedy piglet.
Just leave us alone.
Do you know what Ralph just said?
The roads.
You boys like Mexico?
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.